My name is Jennifer, and I am truly grateful to have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from depression and suicidal thoughts. I grew up in a home where we never talked about God. My parents were dedicated to their careers, and they generously provided for my brother and I. From a worldly perspective, we had everything we needed and more. We lived in a beautiful area of Dallas. We traveled extensively. We were given new cars, and college was paid for in full. But make no mistake, there was real poverty in my soul. I had no spiritual teaching at home, and this was the one area of my life that my parents just could not provide. When I was 10 years old, my well-meaning mom heard there was a fun youth group at a church in East Dallas. And in an attempt to fill the spiritual void in our lives, my parents had us join the youth group. They thought that you went to church to learn about morals and values. But what they didn't know was that the youth minister was a pedophile. He had a methodical way of grooming children to be his future victims of sexual abuse. The youth minister took the entire youth group out of town for a weekend retreat and exposed all of us to pornography. And some of those images are still seared in my mind. When the weekend was over and we were all back home, none of us told our parents about the pornography. And I don't know if we kept the secret out of fear, shame, or just true ignorance to what had happened. You have to realize that this was in the early 80s. And people did not talk about pornography or sexual abuse. And praise God that these topics are now addressed openly in the church. As you can imagine, that weekend retreat was just the beginning of a nightmare. By the grace of God, the youth minister did not choose me to be one of his victims of sexual abuse, but it causes me great pain to think of my friends who suffered tremendous harm for many years at the hands of this man. My time in the youth group was short-lived because I absolutely hated it, but I did not have the words to explain why. I think my mom got tired of my brother and I complaining about it, and she finally just let us quit. While short-lived, the experience left a terrible impression, and I did not step foot into church again to worship or even learn about God until I was 36 years old. The majority of my life was lived in total darkness. To my deep regret, I rebelled harshly against my parents, who were so generous to provide for me. I started abusing drugs and alcohol at age 12, and my journey into sexual promiscuity started at age 15. These behaviors led to years of pain, unhealthy relationships, self-hatred, failed friendships, overwhelming grief, a failed marriage, and complete despair. There were some high points during those years that included college degrees and career opportunities, but I was so broken that the high points never lasted, and let's just be honest, I was barely hanging on. Sadly, I learned to cope with all of this hurt and heartache by fantasizing about suicide. Ending my life was plan B, and committing suicide would be my escape when I got to the point where I just could not withstand the despair any longer. I vowed to take all of this hurt and heartache to the grave, and I had a sick hope that the grave would find me soon. Throughout all of this pain, I never, ever thought I would tell anyone how much I hated myself and how much I wanted to end my life, or that I had actually put plans in motion several times. At the age of 35, I was depressed, divorced, and flat on my face with nowhere to look but up. And I felt this strange urge to go to church. But what in the world could I possibly gain by going to church? The only real church experience I had was as a child with a youth minister that showed me pornography. Why would I ever step foot in church again? Here is the reason. God was pursuing me. He heard my cries. He saw all of my tears, and he was not going to give up on me. He was literally reaching down to rescue me out of the pit of despair. And praise the Lord, I was looking up and searching for his rescue. Over the next year, I visited several churches around Dallas, and I started to learn about God. Through some really, really sweet divine appointments, God led me to a women's Bible study. And I called my mom, and I said, "Mom, you're not going to guess what I did." I said, "Mom, I'm not in jail, and it's nothing illegal. I joined a Bible study." And these girls, they actually read the Bible. I asked her if we had a Bible in our family because I had no idea where you got one. She searched the house and found a Bible that had been given to her and my dad as a wedding gift, and it had about 40 years of dust on it. And I really wish I knew who had given them that Bible because I would love to say thank you. As you can imagine, I was at ground zero. And I felt very embarrassed and very out of place with these Christian girls. I didn't understand a lot of the terminology that I was hearing, and I felt like a child. It was just not an easy place to be. Through the women I met at the Bible study, and then all the servant hearts I eventually met here at Watermark, I started feeling safe to ask questions about faith. During that same year, I finally understood that I was a sinner who desperately needed a Savior. I heard and understood that God sent his one and only Son to die on a cross for every single one of us that believe in him. I responded by asking Jesus to be the Lord of my life, and this is when my life began to change. The pit of despair is deep, but it is never too deep for God. As a new believer, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit, and I could see my faith growing, but I did not understand why I still wanted to harm myself with these terrible thoughts of suicide. I was so ashamed. I knew I needed help. I needed healing, and I knew I needed recovery. Fast forward to age 38 and to the very beginning of my recovery journey. I heard that there was a ministry at Watermark that was for recovery, so I started visiting, but I never got very far because I was unwilling to commit to go all in. I attended Groundwork 3 separate times, not 3 separate nights. I'm talking about 3 separate times with 3 different books over 3 different years. There was a mental block in front of me, and I could not or would not allow myself to get past Groundwork. And at the core, I simply did not trust the Lord, and sharing my hurts with these strangers just felt awkward. What I failed to realize was that we were all in recovery for the same reason. We were all sick and tired of being sick and tired. We all wanted to get well. These strangers were just like me, and I was not at all unique. During the third time I attended Groundwork, God gave me the courage to share the darkest parts of my heart. I started sharing that I was recovering from depression and that I was struggling with self-hatred and recurring thoughts of suicide. It was in Groundwork that I shared the truth that I was so desperately trying to hide, and that is what we refer to here as the last 2%. And do you know what happens when you let God's light shine into the darkest parts of your heart? You finally start healing. You finally start getting well. This was the moment I had been so desperately praying for. This was God at work, and this was the true beginning of my recovery in Christ. Through the loving encouragement of my husband, Mark, and my mentor, Jenny, and all the women in Groundwork, I persevered through all of the pain, and there was a lot. For accountability purposes, I would call Jenny every Monday night, and I would tell her I was on my way to Groundwork and that I hated it, but I was going to go. And I learned that there are only 2 times when you should come to Groundwork. You should come when you feel like it, and you should come when you don't. And so it began. My life was never the same. God used that Groundwork circle to save me from myself. Make no mistake, I also had a life-changing moment in my step group, but we only have so much time here this evening, and that is a whole other story. Let me just say that from beginning to end, there is value in every single part of the recovery process. Please don't wish time away and be all in wherever you are. By the grace of God, I am here to tell you that I am well. But hear me say this, I am not fixed. I am not without sin struggles, sadness, tears, heartache, but I am well, and I am experiencing sobriety from depression and suicidal thoughts, and I do not take my sobriety lightly at all. I live one day at a time. I enjoy one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace. In Mark 4:35, it says this, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. That short verse tells a very powerful story of recovery. Recovery is a journey, not an event. In order to cross to the other side of the lake, you have to get really honest and you have to share it all. It requires complete surrender and total transparency. You have to trust God with the entire journey to the other side. And you have to know that the other side of the lake is going to have its own challenges. The other side of the lake is not perfect, but in regeneration, you learn how to deal with the trials of this life in a much healthier way. You learn to live life in community and abide with the one true healer who is Jesus. Through the power of confession, the truth of God's word, and with Jesus by your side, you will cross to the other side of the lake and you will find healing. Is it scary? Absolutely. And is it painful? Yes. But is it worth it? I promise you, it's worth it. The years that I barely survived in total darkness have been redeemed and I have been made new. I have a new life in Christ. I want to live. I enjoy life. And the sweetest gift of all is that I have learned to trust my Savior with the hurts of this life without wanting to harm myself. This is a new way of thinking for me. And this is the power of the cross. Praise be to God for this incredible journey. My name is Jennifer. I have a new life in Christ. And I'm recovering from depression and suicidal thoughts. Thank you for letting me share.